Today, we are reading from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace, asking for your guidance as we look into your holy word. Open your word to us, Lord. We know it is your word and that it is without error, that it is a light to our path. Guide us as we make this study. And may it serve to glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible I must say I have a renewed respect and reverence toward the Word of God after preparing for this week's study. The Bible was written over the space of about 1,400 years. The Bible was written by 40 different authors, or I guess God's the author, but it was penned by 40 different men. These were men of different walks of life. You had kings such as King David, King Solomon. You had a tax collector, Matthew. A government employee. You had fishermen like Peter, James, and John. Lowly fishermen. You had a doctor like the physician Luke. A Pharisee. Religious zealot, the apostle Paul. And these are just a few. Men from very different walks of life that would probably, in a normal course of life, would have viewed life very differently. But God took these men and use them to create what we hold dear as the Bible, the flawless Word of God, written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And it is accepted today as our rule of faith and practice. I'll be honest with you, I'm sold out on the Word of God. I believe it's always right. When God speaks, I'm not entitled to an opinion. God is God, and His Word is right. But there are people, as a matter of fact, we are in the minority, there are people who would say, no, it was written by man. It has errors. That they take part of the Word of God, but they reject the other parts. And they pick and they choose, and some just believe it's a book. So today we're going to talk about and try to answer the question about the Bible. Is it fact Or is it fiction? Are the writers telling us the truth? Well, I want you to understand, first of all, that these guys who wrote, and especially in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the writers of the Gospels, they're not just writing a biography. They're not writing a story of fiction. They are writing as eyewitnesses. They have seen what they are sharing with us in the Bible. In verse 16, Peter said, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables." To put it in our language, Peter is saying, we didn't make this stuff up. We didn't come up with this on our own. John put it like this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." To put it in our languages, in our language, John is saying, we have been there. We have seen it with our own eyes. We've heard Jesus with our own ears. We've touched Him with our own hands. We were there, sitting under the teaching of Jesus for 3 years. We were there. And we saw Jesus crucified upon a cross, nailed to that cross, crown of thorns, the mocking. We were there and we saw that with our own eyes. We were there when they laid Him in that tomb. And He was dead. Oh, but we were there after 3 days when Jesus came out of that grave. And we saw Him alive for 40 days after His resurrection. We heard Him speak. We heard Him teach. We handled Him. We were there and saw this same Jesus who died on that cross alive and well. We saw that with our own eyes. We saw with our own eyes this same Jesus who, after 40 days of walking with us, ascended up into heaven and was taken up in a cloud. We saw this with our own eyes. It's not just a book. It is an eyewitness testimony. And sometimes we forget that. These men were not writing from the viewpoint of telling a story. These men were writing from the viewpoint of, I've seen it. And you say, Brother Doug, that was 2,000 years ago. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. If I saw something today and I write about it next week, it's still true. 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 1,000 years from now. That's what we have. In the Bible, eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. And not only do we have eyewitness accounts, we have information, or we have the word that has been confirmed by God Himself. In verse 17 through 19, I want to read that again if we can. It says, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration there. And when Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Jesus there transfigured into that glorified being. And they heard that voice with their own ears that said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." God confirmed. You see, when it says in verse 19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." That's what He's saying. God confirmed what we have through His word. And most people don't really get the idea of prophetic. The word prophecy, it means a declaration of the will or the knowledge of God. It is not just foretelling the future. We think of prophecy as being foretelling the future. No, it's relaying God's message to man is literally what that word prophecy means. So when these guys say, and when Peter says, we've had this prophetic word confirmed, he's saying, God confirmed what we're writing, what we're telling you about Jesus Christ. Oh, so many today don't get it. And those of us who do, at times, forget it. This is the holy Word of God. Amen. Worthy of absolute reverence, worthy of our absolute respect. But I want to tell you something. If you truly believe that this Bible, the Bible, is the Word of God, you're going to apply what it says. If you'll notice, when God did speak on the Mount of Transfiguration, He didn't just say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We leave out the last three words. Hear ye Him. Hear Him. Take the Bible. Apply it. You say, well, he's talking about Jesus there. Well, you turn to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible is all about Jesus. Today, I want us to renew what we already know, that this is indeed the Word of God. I'm not entitled to my opinion. I'm not entitled to even my interpretation. I'm entitled to say, thus says the Lord, therefore that's the way it is. See, that's what we've lost in churches today. Churches have quit preaching sin because it's offensive to people. If the Bible says it's sin, it's sin. Churches have stopped saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they're replacing that with, well, let's just all do the best we can. We do the best we can, we go to hell. This is the Word of God. It's to be taken as the Word of God. My opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. The government's opinion, culture's opinion, none of that matters. This is the Word of God, confirmed by eyewitness reports, confirmed by God Himself. You know, and I make the comment that this week has given me a renewed, profound respect for the Bible. It has. And the reason that we started services today, if you're visiting, you're thinking, well, do they start services that every Sunday that way? No, we don't. Maybe we should. You know, when the national anthem is played, you know what's expected? Everybody to stand at attention. Don't be moving around. And we're offended when people kneel at the playing of the national anthem. And I agree, I am also offended. But we have the Word of God that is the rule of our faith and practice. And you know what we do? We take it home and we throw it in a corner. We set it on the floor. We set it on the pew beside us. And we've forgotten how to reverence the Word of God for what it truly is. Oh, it is precious. David said it was sweet like honey to his mouth. I just want you today to be reminded, and as I was. We're living in a day that it's never been more true. The words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why is the heart far from God? It's because we don't value the Word of God. Oh, beloved, it's precious, it's sweet, it's needed. Confirmed by God Himself, confirmed by eyewitnesses. And there are a lot of other evidence. Prophetic evidence. We can go down the list, but we're going to leave that for now where we are. And we're going to talk about How did we get the Bible? How do we get what we have? Well, of course, the answer is going to be the source of Scripture. The source of Scripture is God. He said, well, that's, you know, I knew that. Okay, well, let's keep going. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we're told all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by the inspiration. That word inspiration, it means God breathed. Literally. God breathed His Word so that we could have a message from God. How did He do that? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 that we read said, for this prophecy never came by the will of men, but here's what I want you to get. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That word moved, it means to carry. So here's the picture. God said, I breathed what you have. In the Bible. It came from me. How did it come from me? It came from me by men of God whom I chose. And I carried them through my Holy Spirit to write what you have. The idea of carry there, it's to be under control, sustained, guided. The idea is it didn't come from me. Do you realize if you want to talk to God, people are looking for experience today. Bless their heart. Churches have become all about feelings and experience when the fact is, if you want to hear from God, open the Word. It's there. It is the Word of God. Not only has it been given by God, it's been preserved by God. I'm sorry, I get busy preaching and I forget to catch up with the slides. That's why I didn't give you any blanks this week. I want to tell you something at this point that may rock some of your world. Before I say this, I want you to know I love you. What I'm about to give you is the truth. Okay? Are you ready? Say amen if you're ready. Amen. Okay. We do not have the original writings of Scripture. We do not have the document in which Moses sat down and wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. We don't have those. See, most people have the idea that, or a lot of people have the idea that somewhere in some museum, these are all setting out for display. No, they're not. They're gone. They do not exist anymore. And I'm going to rock someone's world even farther. Are you ready? Say amen if you're ready. It was not written in King James English. Bless their heart. Churches, some churches today, we're a King James only church. Well, how about we just be a Jesus only church? You know? Bless their heart. They don't know what they're trying to take a stand on. If you're so sold out on the King James, I suggest you get you a real King James Bible. Nobody here this morning carried a King James Bible. Oh, yes, I did. Brother Duck says right on the back. No, no. No, sir. The King James Bible, 1611. You ever tried to read one of those things? Oh, my goodness. I thought, I'm going to bring mine this morning and read to you. But I can hardly read it, and I'm certainly not read it to you so that it'll make sense to you. But if you want to look, right on the front of the bulletin, and Brother Michael and I didn't coordinate that, but that's written on the front of the bulletin, that's a 1611. Try to read it, good luck. You see, we can go down these roads of tangents and not even have a clue about what we're trying to take a stand about. And that's sad, because the really important stuff that we need to take a stand about, we just accept. What we do have today, we have translations and we have paraphrased Bibles. Let's talk about paraphrased Bibles first, okay? Paraphrased Bibles are Bibles such as the Living Bible, the Message, the Good News. And what you need to know about paraphrased Bibles is paraphrased Bible is a Bible that somebody took the English version of the Bible and said, I think this is what it means, and they wrote it out. They didn't go back to the Greek and the Hebrew. I thought you said we didn't have that. I'm going to get to that in a moment, okay? We do have. We just don't have the originals. Paraphrased Bible is more of a commentary, okay? I don't have a problem with the paraphrased Bibles. Can they be useful? Yes, but you've got to know that they are not the Word of God, okay? Is it okay to read the Message? Have at it. Go for it. But you understand you're reading a paraphrase. One guy's idea of what he thinks the Scripture means. All right? And so, is it helpful? Yes. But don't try to stand your faith on a verse out of the Message. That won't do. Okay. What we do have is we have also translations. Translations. King James Version, New King James Version, New American Standard Version, New International Version, English Standard Version, to name a few. And if you'll notice, sometimes translations read a little differently. Say, so, Brother Doug, which translation do you like the best? I use the New King James because I came out of the other King James, right? If you want my opinion, the most accurate translation is the New American Standard Translation. But what's really interesting is people will read the New King James, and then they'll read the ESV, English Standard Version, and they'll notice that there are different verses. It's funny because I see people just throw a fit. Well, they left out part of the Word of God. No. They didn't set out to take out verses. What they did, each translation is translated from a different manuscript. Okay? That's why they didn't just drop off verses. Some manuscripts differ a little bit. Some manuscripts don't have a verse here and there, you know? And some have, some do. So don't back up and throw a hissy fit. Oh, that old English Standard Version, it's a work of the devil. No. No. Okay? It's a translation. And the reason that some of those translations are a little different, their source documents are a little different. Okay? But they all went back to the Greek text. What we have, my friends, that we hold dear, we have copies of the original writings. Okay? We have copies of the original. What happened to the originals? Well, they were written on papyrus and parchments and animal skins, and you might know they just don't last that long. When Moses wrote the Pentateuch, he did not have this room to put his writings in that was where he could control the moisture and all it did, and they fell apart. So what they had was men who had sat down and recopied the Scriptures. We say, my brother Doug, how do we know that it's right? Well, the reason we know that we have the Word of God is because we have over 66,000 manuscripts containing 2.6 million pages dating back as far as 50 AD to 75 AD. And what we do, we can take these manuscripts and we can compare them. Okay? And that's what has been done. And that validates, okay, these guys copied what they received from the generation before them, and that generation before them, and that generation before them. These copiers of the word, they were called scribes. Scribe, they were the guy that knew the Bible. Okay? Man, I'm glad I cut this message in half. Scribes were the guys that knew the Bible. Okay? And among scribes, there was a profound respect for the Word of God. Okay? And before a scribe, his goal, he was like the Xerox of that day, right? He would recopy Scripture. And before that scribe could copy Scripture, he had to, in the Old Testament, had to memorize the Torah. The Torah, first five books of the Bible, Pentateuch, right? He was required to commit those five books to memory. Now, how does that compare to you and I when we can't remember a conversation we had 30 minutes ago? Right? But these guys were required to memorize everything about the Torah, right? However, they were not allowed to copy the Torah from memory. They had to copy it word for word, letter for letter. Here's what they would do, okay? They would, let's say, the first book of the Bible, in the beginning. They knew it said in the beginning, but they were not allowed to write in the beginning. They would have to write, it letter by letter, meaning they would come over here to the word in. They would say, I. They'd come over here to where they're writing and say, I. And then they'd write the letter I. Then they'd go back over here, N. Then they'd go back here and say, N. Write the letter N. And go back here and pronounce the word, N. N. And what's really interesting is they were all required to make that letter the same way. The same pattern. For example, you may make your E differently than I make my E. They weren't allowed to do that. It had to be written the same exact way. It started in the same spot and it ended in the same spot. They were so entrenched in the detail of the Scripture. And so much so that they had every word numbered. I don't remember how many 100,000 words there are in the text, but you know, each word had a number. And so if they were copying and you know, when they finished the copy, they'd start counting words. And if a word come up on the wrong number, they know, okay, we messed up. So not only were the words numbered, the letters were numbered. Each number had a letter, so they could check not only each word, but each letter. And with that kind of system, they could come out every word was in the same place on every page. It was crazy, detail-oriented. But it preserved the Word of God. Listen, these guys were so sold out to Scripture that when they wrote the name God, first of all, they had never speak the name God because they thought themselves to be unworthy to allow the word, the name of God, to pass through their lips. So they never spoke the word God. But when they would write the word God, they would stop. They would put down that pen or that quill, that feather. They would go wash and confess their sins and make themselves right before God. And then they would come back and they would write the name of God. And they could never allow one letter to touch another. And that letter, we're talking about a hair's distance. Okay? So intricate that one letter could not touch the other. You want to know why the Jews are so, you know, the one thing they're always associated with is the Torah. And everything you see is the religious Jews, they're carrying that Torah around like it is a precious baby, because to them it is. There's nothing more precious to them than the Word of God. And you see, that's what I fear, that in today's culture, we've lost. Everything has become so casual, so coffee house mentality, and we're going to stop here and continue next week. But everything has become so coffee house mentality. We want to relax. We want these versions of the Bible to be easy. You know, where did we ever get it that study was supposed to be easy? It's not. If you want to know the Word of God, you've got to put in the time and the effort to know the Word of God. Okay? It's kind of like, I want to go to medical school and get my medical certificate, but I want the easy path. You know what they're going to say? There ain't one. Forgive the English. And quite frankly, if my doctor is going to work on me, I don't want him to have the easy path. It's not supposed to be easy. Because we can't, anything that's easy, we don't appreciate. Oh, but let me tell you, when you dig the gold nuggets that's contained in this God-given book, there is nothing that will feed the soul. Nothing that will satisfy your heart like discovering things you didn't know from the Word of God. I call them aha moments. I don't know how many times I've had to go to Brother Michael and Brother Kelly and preach something I was going to preach on Sunday because I'd learned something. I couldn't wait till Sunday to tell somebody. May we absolutely have a profound reverence for what God has placed in our care through His Word. This Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you. Brother Doug, I'm not so bad. Don't argue. It's the Word of God. Amen? Don't make excuse. Well, Brother Doug, everybody else is bad as I am. Hush. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and God is right. Okay? But the Bible also said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, that's the good news. We call it good news. You've got to come to grips with who you are before you'll come to grips with the good news. You've got to come to grips with being a sinner before you can come to grips with the salvation that's been offered through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. He died so that you could live. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never called upon Jesus and asked Him for salvation, you need to take care of that today. Okay? I'll tell you what the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say, work hard, do your best, and maybe you'll get there. It doesn't say, be baptized and you'll be saved. It says, whosoever shall call, cry out, fall upon the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Friends, are you saved? If not, this invitation is for you. Maybe you are saved. The Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, or leading you in some other ministry, mission. I remind you, God's always right. If He's leading, you need to respond. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. Lord, what a delight and what a pleasure and what a privilege it is for us to open Your Word, knowing that it is God-breathed. knowing that in reading your word, we're hearing from you. And knowing that in spite of our sin and our shortcomings, you still love us. May we never take for granted your word, Heavenly Father. And may we truly use it, make it a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Now we pray your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name.